Oh, I am a ramblin' Irishman, I've travelled this country o'er, in search of an occupation as I've never done before. I made a resolution and I think it a very good plan, to travel to America and view that foreign land. When I landed in Philadelphia, the girls all jumped for joy. Says one unto the other, now there goes an Irish boy. They invited me to go with them and they took me by the hand, and the toast went merrily round the town, good luck to the Irish man. I'd been in Philadelphia not more than a week or so, when I made a resolution some other place to go. With me knapsack on me shoulder, me shillelagh in me hand, I set out through Pennsylvania like a ramblin' Irishman. I travelled through Bucks County, out there among the Dutch, but as for conversation, well, there wasn't very much. But I, with signs and signals, gave the girls to understand the courage and good nature of this ramblin' Irish man. I went into a tavern, and there I spent the night. The landlady's fair daughter, in me she took delight. She hugged me and she kissed me, and she took me by the hand, and she whispered in her mother's ear, I'm in love with this Irish man. Oh daughter, dearest daughter, what is this you are going to do? To fall in love with an Irish man, a lad you never knew. With his knapsack on his shoulder, his shillelagh in his hand, ah, mother dear, I roam the world with this ramblin' Irishman. Settle down for life. We're as happy as two turtle doves, me and me darling wife. I'll work for her and I'll toil for her and I'll do the best I can, and I'll never make her rue the day she married an Irish man.
The Rambling Irishman, performed by the Green Fields of America. And two of the band members with Greenfields are now joining me in studio. Greenfields founding member Mick Maloney and fiddler Athena Turgis. Welcome both of you to KALW.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joanne.
So the two of you have been collaborating, I guess, for the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, both with the Greenfields and also in other configurations. The Greenfields of America is kind of has been for many, many years, since 1978, kind of an idea out there of musicians getting together and touring. And at various times, there's kind of been a fixed membership, and then people went off and did their own things. You know, people like Eileen Ivers and Seamus Egan and Michael Flatley was our first dancer. I often wonder whatever happened to him.
So you've had the cream of the crop cycling through Greenfields.
Liz Carroll, I mean, it's just basically friends and colleagues playing together. But then a few years ago, we started to do more gigs than we normally would do. We'd maybe only do a gig or two a year. And we started to play down in West Virginia at the Irish Week, the Augusta Heritage Festival down there in Davidson Elkins College. And at that point, a fixed lineup started to emerge that we were having a lot of fun playing big festivals like Milwaukee, the Irish Fest there. And that's the lineup that made that particular record.
Okay, before we go any further, let me say a few words of introduction about each of you. Mick Maloney is a longtime Irish folk musician and professor of ethnomusicology at New York University. He's a scholar. He's written several books. And his most recent research has focused on Irish-American contributions to the songs of vaudeville and Tin Pan Alley. Athena Turgis grew up here in the Bay Area. She studied Scottish fiddling with Alastair Fraser, and then later she went on to Ireland and studied Irish fiddling with some of the greats there. And among her many accomplishments, Athena was a principal fiddler in the Broadway production of Riverdance, and she just put out her first debut solo recording back in 2007. So this must be a very productive collaboration that the two of you have, because I guess in the last 6 years you've collaborated on 5 CD recordings.
That's right. I didn't realize it was that much, actually.
And
but
DVD,
yeah,
and
we did a DVD too. That's right. Yeah. We played in different combinations, myself and Athena and Billy McComiskey. We played, John Doyle has played with us quite a lot. Then we do things together as a duo. Athena goes off and does her thing, I do my thing, we come back together like we did today. We haven't seen each other for a few months now. Mm-hmm. We did a whole bunch of Christmas shows in New York with great musicians like Brendan Dolan and Liz Hanley. She'd be better known on the East Coast perhaps than the West Coast. Brendan Dolan, the great piano player. Billy McComiskey and guest artists from various places. So we get together quite a bit.
Okay, well, can I have the two of you play something for us before we start talking about what brings you to San Francisco?
Yeah, you had the reels. Which reels were they?
Well, Billy McComiskey, he kind of suggested this set, and he said that you and you guys did this a long time ago, you know, with... I think some of your other lineups there, Jimmy Keane.
It was
and
the 1981 version of the Greenfields. America,
and I thought it's such a great set that we just revive it here. It's Sport and Patty and Boys of Bell and a Hinch and several others. So we'll try it.
Okay.
The Fiddler Mandolin.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis live in the KALW studios, my special guests this afternoon on Folk Music and Beyond. Mick and Athena are here this weekend to help kick off the start of the Crossroads Irish American Festival. The festival is sponsoring various events that are happening all around San Francisco this month: oral histories, poetry, literature, visual arts, and music, celebrating the achievements of Irish Americans. For the complete schedule, visit www.irishamericancrossroads.org. Mick and Athena will be performing tonight, 8 o'clock, at a house concert in San Francisco, and this is a benefit event for the Crossroads Irish American Festival. Tomorrow afternoon at 4, they'll be at the Jewish Community Center. The address is 3200 California Street in San Francisco. And the title of tomorrow's event is If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. And that's the title of Mick Maloney's latest CD recording. And at first glance, you wouldn't think that Irish music and Jewish music had a whole lot in common with each other.
Well, the music has perhaps less in common with each music with the other than the immigrant experience, really. I mean, both populations came from very tough times, and the Irish came before the Jews, of course, and the Scotch-Irish would have come in the 18th century, and throughout the 19th century, a deluge of refugees coming to America, particularly after the famine, and they had nothing to go back to. Very, very few ever went back. What was there to go back to? The land was gone. There was no life. The opportunities lay in America. And for the Jewish people who came after 1890, and a million of them came in a couple of decades, it was the same story for them. There was literally nothing to go back to. They were here to stay. And both cultures have very, very strong affinity with the arts, performing arts, music, singing, dancing, theatre, literature, and a great love for education. And the Irish had been very prominent in the music business in America all through the 19th century. And along came the Jews in the 1890s, with serious competition. And in Tin Pan Alley, which is the name given to the district where the music publishing business was in 28th and Broadway, in that era, which coincided with the emergence of the whole recording era in America, sheet music and recording in vaudeville, urban America teeming with artistic life. And the Jewish and the Irish, you know, really hard at it there, sometimes competing and sometimes being collegial. And it was a great era. It's a fantastic, kind of an unheralded, unknown chapter in American musical history. I kind of stumbled across it by accident and came across all these great songs, a lot of them Irish songs written by Jewish composers, and sometimes songs that you would think were written by Jewish composers, but the names had been changed. People like, say, William Jerome, who collaborated with Jerome Schwartz. Jerome was actually Flannery, but he saw the business going Jewish. George M. Cohan be maybe the most famous Jewish sounding name, but in fact the grandfather was Cohan from Clonakilty in County Cork. And when the Cohans saw, the Cohans saw the business going Jewish, they decided to shift the name. It was great fun, and nobody knew how it was going to play out, but it's a great era for composing songs, and thousands of great songs were composed, and I stuck a few of them together, and that's how the album got made. Athena featured very prominently in it.
You know, it's interesting that after the famine of the 1850s, after thousands of Irish migrated to this country, what kind of music was popular with the Irish emigres? It wasn't the traditional music. It wasn't the jigs and reels. It was the music coming out of vaudeville, which, you know, as you mentioned, was dominated by Irish songwriters and producers and actors.
Well, also minstrelsy, which was a very strange chapter, you know, in American musical history, with all these Irish Americans blacking up and pretending they were African Americans, having a very happy time in slavery and playing the banjo and singing and dancing the hours away all the time. And we had a big mark in that as well.
Well, let's listen to the title song from your 2006 recording, McNally's Row of Flats. And this song was written by Ed Harrigan, who was an Irishman. He was a performer, singer, and composer on vaudeville. And he dominated vaudeville at that time, but nowadays nobody's heard of him.
Well, he was more into musical theatre. He was certainly a vaudevillian, but he created full-length plays, they were the prelude to what became known as musical theatre later on, where you had a cast of characters who would break into song or dance, or tell stories, you know, in the course of the action. And his collaborator was David Braham. And in fact, most of his songs are written with David Braham. And then I discovered that David Braham was really, his ancestral name was Abraham, and he was Jewish. And they dropped the A because of anti-Semitism back in London. So you could say the first major Irish-Jewish collaboration in American music was Harrigan and Braham.
All right. Here we go. Mick Maloney with McNally's Row of Flats on Folk Music and Beyond.
Down in Bottle Alley lived Timothy McNally, a decent politician and a gentleman at that. Beloved by all the ladies, the gossoons and the babies that occupy the building called McNally's Row of Flats. And it's Ireland and Italy, Jerusalem and Germany, Chinese and Africans, and a paradise for rats, all jumbled up together in the snow and rainy weather. They constitute the tenants in McNally's Row of Flats. That great conglomeration of men from every nation, the Tower of Babylonium, it couldn't equal that. A peculiar institution were the brogues without dilution. They rattled on together in McNally's Row of Flats. And it's Ireland and Italy, Jerusalem and Germany, Chinese and Africans, and a paradise for rats, all jumbled up together in the snow and rainy weather. They constitute the tenants in McNally's Row of Flats. Of rags and papers, tramps and other slavers, Italian lazzaronis and lots of hungry cats, lying on the benches and dying there by inches from the open ventilation in McNally's Row of Flats. And it's Ireland and Italy, Jerusalem and Germany, Chinese and Africans, and a paradise for rats, all jumbled up together in the snow and rainy weather. They constitute the tenants in McNally's Row of Flats. It never was expected that the rent would be collected. They levied on the furniture, the bedding and the slats. And it's then you'd see the rally as they battled down the alley, evicted from the building called McNally's Row of Flats. And it's Ireland and Italy, Jerusalem and Germany, Chinese and Africans, and a paradise for rats, all jumbled up together in the snow and rainy weather. They constitute the tenants in McNally's Row of Flats.
Mick Maloney from his 2006 studio recording, McNally's Row of Flats. Mick Maloney is my guest this afternoon on Folk Music and Beyond, along with fiddler Athena Turgis. Every time I hear McNally's Row of Flats, it reminds me of where my mother grew up. She grew up in Lower Manhattan in a Chinatown tenement during the Great Depression.
Yeah, in fact, the Tenement Museum in the Lower East Side, which is a great place to visit anybody going to New York, I should try to stop off there. They do one-hour tours, and you learn, maybe a lot of people will learn what their great-grandparents what they lived like. It's an amazing. They inherited this building, which had been unchanged for decades and decades. And you can almost walk into an apartment that's almost exactly the same as it was in 1870, but nothing changed at all. And they used this song as their theme song, McNally's Row of Flats, partly because of the mention of rats, because rats, they were such a presence in tenement life. And they've been with us all along on our journey in the world. One of our friends, Bob Sullivan, wrote that best-selling book, Rats, a few years ago. Everything you would want to, or maybe not want to, ever know about rats. But when you look upon tenement life, I mean, that's just one of the big issues, is rats.
So, Mick, your most recent CD is If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews, which moves from vaudeville of the late 1800s to Tin Pan Alley at the turn of the 20th century. And so by this time, as you mentioned, refugees from Eastern Europe were coming into New York, and Jewish empresarios and producers and songwriters began taking over the New York stage. And so this led to the unlikely cross-cultural collaboration between Jews and Irish.
Well, it did, and we lived beside one another, you know, in the tenements. And people like Al Dubin, he arrived in Philadelphia, he was only 2 years of age in 1892. And he just dropped out of school, didn't want to be anything other than a songwriter. And he teamed up with all sorts of people, John O'Brien and other songwriters, and they wrote that beautiful song, 'Twas Only an Irishman's Dream. And that was a major Irish-Jewish collaboration thing. The same year he arrived, a young boy called Israel Balin arrived in New York, 1892. He was the son of a Jewish cantor. And the Jewish cantor never really got a chance to be a cantor. He worked other things. He died and left a young family. And Israel Balin became kind of the caretaker of the family. Found he had a talent for songwriting. And in 1910, he changed his name to Irving Berlin. And he would have been a contemporary of Al Dubin's. And both founders, along with Victor Herbert of ASCAP, the Musicians Rights Protection Association. So all sorts of collaboration going on in the music business. And also in politics, in Tammany Hall. We dominated Tammany by the 90s, but we needed new people on board with all the new migration. So we teamed up with the Jews as well. And if you watch Boardwalk Empire, the great new series on HBO, you'll see the Jewish and the Irish mobs together. So they're featured in every aspect of American life, neighbors and collaborators and often opponents as well.
Well, we're going to listen to the title song from your latest CD, If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. And this song is an example of that cross-collaboration going on. This was written by an Irishman and a Jew.
Yeah, it was written by a man called Schwartz, who was an immigrant from Hungary, a Jewish, and William Jerome, who really was William Flannery, whose father had come from County Tipperary. And they wrote a lot of Irish songs. They wrote My Irish Molly, which was a big hit in Ireland by the Donnans back in the 1970s, kind of resurrected. And they wrote Bedelia, which was a huge, it sold a million copies of sheet music. It was a hugely successful song, and lots of others as well. But this is the one I really liked because, I was living in New York by the time I discovered this song, and all around me were references to places that I knew. And I think it's one of the best songs they wrote.
Just returned from Europe, I've seen London and Paris, and I'm glad to get back home to Yankee land. In fact, the little USA looks better now to me. It's the real place for the real folks, understand. But still I often sit and think, what would this country do if it hadn't men like Rosenstein and Hughes? We surely have a kingdom, they'd be no democracy if it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. What would this great Yankee nation really, really ever do if it wasn't for a Levy, a Monaghan or Donoghue? Where would we get our policemen? Why Uncle Sam would have the blues. Without the Pats and Isidores, there'd be no big department stores if it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. subway and his name we'll not forget. A word of praise is due to Nathan Strauss for pasteurizing baby's milk, the world owes him a debt. He's a friend to every kid that's in the house. Without me, Tim O'Sullivan, what would the Bowery do? The policemen, they would need new pairs of shoes. There wouldn't be an east side in the city of New York if it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. Where would we get our amusement? There would be no place to go if it wasn't for the Shubers, Frank McKee and Marcus Lowe, Kay and E and Billy Brady, Hammerstein I must include. I once heard Dave Belasco say you couldn't stage a play today if it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. Talk about a combination. Hear my words and make a note. On St. Patrick's Day, Rosinski pins a shamrock on his coat. There's a sympathetic feeling between the Blooms and McAdoos. Why, Tammany would surely fall. There'd really be no hall at all if it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews.
If it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews, the title song from Mick Maloney's latest studio recording. Mick Maloney is here with Athena Turgis this afternoon on Folk Music and Beyond. They're both in town this weekend to kick off the Crossroads Irish American Festival. Crossroads is hosting several events happening in San Francisco this next month. And visit www.irishamericancrossroads.org. That's irishamericancrossroads.org. So, Mick, you started out in the late 60s playing mostly traditional music. So for you to go into this vaudeville Tin Pan Alley music is a pretty radical shift for you, because it doesn't seem to have a whole lot in common with traditional music.
Well, some of it doesn't, I suppose. I had a resistance to Tin Pan Alley music for the longest time, because if you were a traditional music growing up, In Ireland, when I was learning my music, I didn't start till fairly late, really. But people start today very young. I didn't start till I was in my late teens, early 20s. And I got very passionate about it. And I was off every spare moment I could. I went to various musicians, mostly in County Clare, and tried to catch up. And I was really, it was almost like an addiction. I was addicted to it. And at that time in Irish radio, we had about maybe half an hour of traditional music a week. And it was very unfortunate, but it was kind of, I suppose you'd call it the post-colonial phase, where we still had very little confidence in what we were about, you know, after being battered around the place for so long and told that what we were and what we had was not very important. And we kind of internalised that. And we didn't have much regard for our music, really, until the late 60s, and then we finally came to our senses. So the songs that I learned to detest were the Tin Pan Alley songs sung by Bing Crosby, you know, like When Irish Eyes Are Smiling and I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen, and all of those, because they didn't seem to have any connection with any kind of Irish reality at all. They were clearly invented, a kind of invented notion of an invented homeland. When I came to America and began to understand why people would have done that, you know, when you come from very hard times, the last thing you want to do is keep thinking about that. So in a way, you buy into an imagined notion of an imagined childhood or an imagined homeland. And it wasn't just the Irish. I think just about every immigrant group in America did that. And the Tin Pan Alley songwriters were brilliant at creating those images for people. And then once I started to understand that, I kind of lost my resentment against the songs. And I don't think you should allow art to be, you know, just governed by the politics and economics of it all. You at some point you have to look, is it good or is it bad? Do I like it or do I not like it? You know, do I want to sing it or do I not? And consider each song or piece of music in its own terms. And that's when I started to feel comfortable with some of these songs. And when I realised what geniuses people like Al Dubin were, he's a fantastic songwriter, and people like Irving Berlin and George M. Cohan. His song Over There, you know, when you take the first, the three notes of the bugle call, da dum bum, da da da, da da da, da da da, da da da. It's pure breathtaking genius to think of creating something so beautiful, something so simple. And the artistry, when I read a book called The Poets of Tin Pan Alley by Philip Furia, who's the biographer of Irving Berlin, I started to lose my resentments and tried to understand the genius of these songwriters. And that's when I started to feel comfortable about doing the album. But it took a long time.
Yeah. Well, has it been challenging to get 21st century audiences interested in the music of vaudeville and Tin Pan Alley? Because I can imagine some detractors might be kind of, critical that a lot of these songs aren't very deep. The lyrics aren't very subtle. The topics, the characters of these songs tend to be painted in rather broad brushstrokes.
Yeah, some of them definitely, that's the case. And for instance, during the First World War, you had 40,000 songs copyrighted on the war itself. How many of them were good? You know, maybe a handful. But it's like if you ever read a great book, a novel, and that's published, say, a paperback, and look at the back of it, at all the other books published at the same time, it's like the garbage heap of literature. Every art form has this big, huge garbage heap. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, Irish traditional music, I mean, we love it, but, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of tunes, and they have a very limited structure, 8 bars, and, you know, with repeated and followed by a kind of response of 8 bars. We never get tired of that. There's something beautiful in there. And you're going to like some tunes better than others, you know. It's a matter of individual taste. And I think it's the same with Tin Pan Alley.
Well, this discussion has made me kind of think about why I like traditional music so much. And I really hadn't analyzed it up until very recently. But the thing about traditional music, even the jigs and reels that seem to be cheery and upbeat on the surface, a lot of them have this hint of darkness around the edges, and that's what I find so interesting about traditional music overall. Whereas on the other hand, vaudeville and Tin Pan Alley songs, you know, a lot of them are so relentlessly positive and cheery, and there doesn't seem to be any hint or signs of darkness or irony on the horizon.
Well, they were. I think you're talking about the majority of the songs, that's true. They were escapist. And most theatre, vaudeville itself, was mostly escapist, you know. People worked hard lives. They worked 6 days a week. And when they went to the theatre, they weren't anxious to be confronting the things that bedeviled them, like infant mortality and gang warfare, the loss of lives in dangerous occupations, alcoholism, desertion, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That was part of the fabric of tenement life, you know. The Irish widow woman was a major figure in Irish American life for a variety of reasons in the late 19th century. When you went to the theatre, did you want to hear about that again? Of course, it was escapist. And if you wanted a deeper experience, you'd read a novel or you'd go to some high art production. But you know, escapism and delightful escapism and witty escapism has its place. And but I have the same resentment, maybe that you're talking about, that there was a lot of dross. But I picked songs that I liked for that album, and you know, that's been for years now, and I've listened to it a couple of times. I still like the songs. So,
all right, well, they've stood the test of time for you. Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis are my guests today on Folk Music and Beyond. So, why don't we hear you with another song?
Yeah, this is a song that I learned from my late great hero, Frank Hart. Frank had a great saying, those in power write the history and those who suffer write the songs. And I miss him a lot, but I learned this song from him. And it's a post-famine song called You Lovers All. You lovers all, both great and small, that dwell in Ireland. And I hope you'll pay attention while I my pen command. It was my cruel father that drove my love away. But I'm still in hopes we will meet again in North America. My love is neat and handsome. To him I gave my heart, and a little was our notion that ever we would part. It was in my father's garden this flower it did decay, but I'm still in hopes it will bloom again in North America. I did not want for money, good fortune on me shines, and from my father's castle I stole £500. It was in the town of Belfast my passage I didn't pay. My mind made up to follow my love to North America. Captain's wife was kind to me, as you might understand, and she kept me in her cabin until we reached the land. It was in the town of Quebec we landed on the quay. I knew not where to find my love in North America, but I've been sick and tired and sore. I went into an inn, and 'twas there I spied my William, the lad I loved within. I gently took him by the hand, and to him I did say, I never thought I'd see your face in all of America. Couple they are wed, as you might understand, and I hear they live quite happily in a town that they call St. John. And the money that she took from home in gold, she paid it down, and she thinks no more on Ireland or Enniskillen.
Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis, my special guest today on Folk Music and Beyond, performing the song You Lovers All from the collection of Frank Hart, who died just a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Frank died about 5 years ago, and they have a festival in his honor in Dublin now every September, and he was just an amazing man. He was an architect by profession. He designed some very notable buildings like the National Stud, but that really was a part of his life that none of us who knew him through singing really knew much about or that he cared to talk about. He was just as passionate about songs as any person I've ever met in my life. And you know, when he died, he had something like 17,000 songs on his computer. All notated down and classified, and it was his passion, not even just the songs themselves, but the story behind the songs and the singers who sang the songs. And I can tell you this, that over the years, any time I had a question about a song, when it was writing liner notes for a CD or something, I call up Frank. He always knew exactly what the version was or the story was. And I remember when I was at his funeral there, and Christy Moore was there, and he said to me after, he said, "Who will we call now?"
So a lot of your song repertoire comes from Frank Hart?
I wouldn't really know, but if I wanted to know, say, the background to a song, I'd call Frank and ask him, and he'd tell me who else recorded it, you know, where it had appeared first. And we both had the same passion for music and songs, so we were great friends. And he came out to America a lot. He came to Davis and Elkins College, the Augusta Ard Heritage Week, which is taking place again this year. And it's a great week in the mountains, West Virginia mountains. Athena was there many a time. And it's a beautiful part of West Virginia. And Frank came out there, and he was kind of a superstar for about 15 years in a row. He came out. He had his own coterie of devoted followers, most of them female.
So we've been talking about your latest studio recordings, McNally's Row of Flats, and If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. And you have a lot of musicians helping you out on these two recordings. John Doyle, you mentioned, who served as your co-producer.
Oh, yeah. John and myself, we co-produced four albums together. It was as enjoyable an experience as I've ever had in my life. He's just fantastic to work with, a genius of a musician and a wonderful collaborator and a person who listens very carefully to everything that's going on around him and makes everything sound better. And it's just a joy to do that. And Athena was on all the albums as well.
Athena Lynn, who
spent some time in San Francisco here. She's from Los Angeles, a very good fiddler as well in Irish music. And people like Ivan Goff, great piper.
Billy McComiskey.
Always. And Brendan Dolan, the great piano player. Jerry O'Sullivan, the great piper. Just about anybody who was coming through town, really. And often old-time friends, people like Saul Brody. He would be, I suppose, better known in the East Coast. He toured with Utah Phillips for a good many years, and people like Bruce Molsky and Mac Benford, who spent some time in San Francisco here back in the 70s. A whole cast of characters.
So a lot of these musicians came from traditional music circles, and you also have Vince Giordano and his band, The Nighthawks.
Yeah, when I started doing some stuff on the stage, I thought that it would need some flavour of the pit orchestras, and I hadn't a clue what they sounded like. I just saw references to them, and I went to Vince, and he was the go-to guy at the time for everything got to do with early jazz, and still is. And he has this band, it's a legendary band. They play every Monday and Tuesday in New York in the Edison Hotel. If you want to really get a slice of old New York, go to Sophie's on a Monday or Tuesday night, 8 to 11, and you hear Vince and his 12-piece band, all dressed in tuxedos, just like us Irish traditional musicians, you know, playing a total variety of brilliant jazz from the early era. And he actually won a Grammy recently for his soundtrack of Boardwalk Empire. But when I went to Vince, he was intrigued with the project of going back to Harrigan, which was the 1870s, a little bit before recorded music, so 3 decades before it, really. And between us, we reconstructed some of what we thought the arrangements might have sounded like. And we had great fun, and we've done some live concerts together as well. And I tell you, having a 12-piece band up on stage puts manners on you, you know. They're not going to wait around for you.
Well, let's listen to a song featuring Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. This is the pacifist song, I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier.
Soldiers to the war have gone, who may never return again. 10 million mothers' hearts must break for the ones who died in vain. Head bowed down in sorrow in her lonely years, I heard a mother murmur through her tears. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier, I brought him up to be my pride and joy. Who dares to put a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy? Let nations arbitrate their future troubles, it's time to lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. Can cheer a mother's heart when she looks at her blighted home.
What victory can bring her back all she cares to call her own? Let each mother answer in the years to be, remember that my boy belongs to me. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier, I brought him up to be my pride and joy. Who dares to put a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy? Let nations arbitrate their future troubles, it's time to lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
Mick Maloney with Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks from Mick's most recent solo recording, If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. Mick and Athena Turgis will be giving a presentation on If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews tomorrow afternoon at 4 at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. The address is 3200 California Street. Tonight they perform at a benefit house concert in San Francisco. And tomorrow evening, the two of you will be leading a free session at the Plough and Stars, correct?
Yeah, I love playing at the Plough and the Stars. I played it the year after it opened. I'll be coming back here, but you know, every now and again ever since. And it's like home base here in San Francisco. It's one of the great Irish pubs in the country, I think.
That's where I got my first glimpse of Irish music as well. That was the hub in San Francisco for great Irish tunes.
So a way a session works is... anybody can come and bring their instruments and
That's
join
right.
in.
Yeah, one of the most memorable sessions I ever had there was with the late Kevin Keegan, and it was the last time I ever saw him, back in the '70s, and it's just a great place and a lovely atmosphere.
All right. Well, if you want to be taking part in this free session tomorrow evening with Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis, is happening at the Plough and Stars. The address is 116 Clement Street in San Francisco. Do you know what time it starts, Athena?
It starts about 9 o'clock, and it's right there, Clement and like 2nd Avenue around there.
Okay. And if you want the complete program schedule for the Crossroads Irish Festival, visit www.irishamericancrossroads.org. Can the two of you take us out with something maybe you'll be playing at tomorrow's session?
Yeah, we'll play a few tunes, and as usual, we don't have the names for them. But before I do, I'd like to just thank you for having us on the show, and also to thank Hilary Flynn and everyone else involved in this festival. This is one of the most innovative Irish festivals in America, and we play festivals all the time. And I don't think there's any festival like this that brings the arts and humanities together. And all genres really over a period of several weeks in the same city. There's nothing like it anywhere. So you got something really special going here with this festival.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
Mick Maloney on mandolin, banjo, and octave mandolin. Athena Turgis on fiddle. It's great seeing both of you again. Thanks so much for stopping by and sharing your music with us.
Thank you, Joanne. Always a pleasure.
Thanks also to Tony Farrow, who engineered today's program. Mick and Athena will be performing tomorrow afternoon at 4 at the San Francisco Jewish Community Center. And let's go out with another song from If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. This is a non-Tin Pan Alley song. It's another one of those emigration songs that Mick got from the collection of Frank Hart, Sailing Off to the Yankee Land. While we're listening to this, I have two pairs of tickets to give away to tomorrow's 4 p.m. concert at the Jewish Community Center with Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis. The call-in number, 415-841-4134. If you are callers 4 and 6, you can win a pair of tickets to see Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock at the Jewish Community Center. 415-841-4134. Good luck.
All you young men, I pray, draw near now and give ear to the words I am going to say. I am going to tell you that the people of Ireland are emigrating to America. Yes, indeed, they are emigrating. This poor country they can't stand. They put their foot on board of a ship. They are sailing off to the Yankee land. Well, the night before they are due for leaving, all the neighbours in the house do throng for to take their farewell glass and join together to sing a song. Well, they dance all night to the early morning, each man cutting all around the floor. The mother, she comes in then weeping to see her children to the door. Father looks around the cabin, he sees that he is all alone. Surely his poor heart is breaking, his salt tears would melt a stone. And hurrah for the gallant sons of Erin, this poor country they can't stand. They have put their foot on board of a ship, they are sailing off to the Yankee land. Day as I went walking down the road, I chanced to go. I saw a crowd to me approaching, and it filled me heart with woe. For I saw the carriage and the coaches moving onward, forward to the train, and the handkerchiefs were waving, bidding goodbye to Grania Way. Then hurrah for the gallant sons of Erin, this poor country they can't stand. They put their foot on board of a ship, they are sailing off to the Yankee land.
Programming on KALW is supported in part by the Center for Asian American Media, presenting the world premiere of Jake Shemet Bukuru, the documentary, on March 14th. The Castro Theater as part of the 30th annual San Francisco International Asian American Film Festival. More information at caamedia.org. Hi everyone, welcome to another edition of A Patchwork Quilt. We're heard every Saturday afternoon starting at 5, here on 91.7 KALW, San Francisco, KALW.org, your local public radio. It's all part of the Saturday afternoon folk music starting at 2 o'clock with Thistle and Shamrock. At 3, we have folk music and beyond. At 5, A Patchwork Quilt, and at 6:30, Bluegrass Signal. Music from around the world continues tonight at 8 with Tangents. Good evening, good afternoon. My name is Kevin Vance. Coming to the Freight and Salvage tonight as part of the Jewish Music Festival, we'll start off tonight's program with Michael Winograd's Klezmer Trio here on A Patchwork Quilt. Thank you. That haunting, beautiful voice belongs to Judith Bergson. She sang De Leierman from her album Oilam. The harp trio Triskele performed O Carolyn's Welcome and The Butterfly, and we started the program today with Michael Winograd's Klezmer Trio, the tune Nayer Hussed Tanz. Triskele is giving a show a week from tonight in Contra Costa County, Saturday, the 10th of March, 8 p.m., at Harps Etc. Music Store, which is located at 1601 North Main Street, Suite 106 in Walnut Creek. Two websites you can check out are harpsetc.com and Triskele's, T-R-I-S-K-E-L-A, harp trio, www.thisporkmusic.com. Judith Bergson and Michael Winograd, whom we just heard from in this set here on A Patchwork Quilt, are performing tonight at the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley as part of the Jewish Music Festival. The Freight is at 2020 Addison, downtown Berkeley. Website is freightandsalvage.org. The Jewish Music